for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, May the 29th, 2005. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park. Clement Humbard of Hot Springs, Arkansas, is the speaker.
You have required. And it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
Brother Clement Humbard, come bless us with the word this morning.
Would you please stand with me just a moment? I'm reading from Zechariah, the 12th chapter, and verse 8. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be like David, and the house of David shall be like God, like the angel of the Lord before them. I would like to remind you that Jesus said in Luke 24:44, when he appeared to the resurrected Christ, appearing to the two disciples on the Emmaus Road, and their natural eyes were even blinded, their understanding was blinded, they didn't know Christ, the resurrected Christ, was talking to them. You remember the story. But he said, all things that are written in the Psalms and the prophets shall be fulfilled. And I want to go over this scripture one more time. In that day, the Lord shall defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And he that is feeble among them at that day shall be like David. And the house of David shall be like God. And the angel of the Lord before them. That angel of the Lord was the Lord Jesus Christ in pre-incarnate form. Anytime it said the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, that was Christ. Before the foundation of the world, He existed. So, you and I are believers. Amen?
Amen.
A believer is a possessor. A believer right now has eternal life. A believer, according to the Word of God, is an overcomer. Did you hear me? A believer is more than a conqueror. Not only a conqueror, more than a conqueror. A believer has everlasting life right now. A believer is living in the supernatural. The Bible said, if the Spirit of God dwell in you, you're not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. A believer is bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And again, the Bible said, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Now, this is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Lift holy hands without wrath, without doubting. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. We have felt and sensed in the Spirit and even in the natural by our eyes and our ears. And Lord, we know there's not anything wrong with sanctified sense and sanctified reasoning, imagination, memory, conscience, and affection. There's nothing wrong with them. Long as they don't root out the leading of the Holy Spirit and the divine things that God does. And I just pray, Lord, you'll saturate every cubic inch of atmosphere with the divine love and power and the peace of God that passeth understanding. And I pray that God's will be done and not a person that attends this camp will remain the same. My God, not because of their seeking, because of their struggle, because of their exercising faith, but I, Lord, because of you. You're a sovereign God. You appointed this. It's a divine appointment. You called them. You made a way for them to come. You gave them strength. You gave them ability. My Lord, some of them comes with great sacrifice, but Lord, let them be assured they're going to be rewarded. Regardless, that God is going not only to meet their needs, but lift them up to a higher plane. And not just see the works of God, but see the ways of God. And I pray that you'll do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and hide our life behind the cross of Christ. After this service is over, may no man be seen except the lowly Nazarene. No voice heard except that still, small voice that always leads us back to the fold of God. granted in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Christianity is a supernatural, miraculous, and quote-unquote religion. It's really not a religion. Christianity is Christ in you, the hope of glory. But we have to use this term so people know what we're talking about. See, there's many religions on earth. But I want you to get this straight. Christianity is not a religion. And I want you to defend Christ and His kingdom when people say, well, there's many religions on earth. Say, absolutely. But Christianity is not a religion.
Amen.
It's being partaker of the divine nature. It's a human being transformed out of darkness into light. Out of the old life into the new. It's a person in the living in the supernatural things of God. I said Christianity is a miracle religion. It associates man to the supernatural. And if you don't have an association with the supernatural, you're not saved and you don't have sense enough to know it. Every Christian should be living in a miraculous every breath you draw, every day. Mark that day off, brother, if there's not miracles in your life that day. And I've said before, Oral Roberts will love this, but I've preached for about 40 years that every Christian should be in a miracle, in the midst of a miracle, or coming out of a miracle. Did you hear it? And as we start walking with God, they overlap. You're going into one miracle, and you're in the midst of another miracle, and coming out of another miracle. There is no excuse for Christianity to be on this earth if you take away the supernatural and the miraculous. Now, every believer believes in miracles. Oh, I hear a little, please excuse this, but this is Arkansas talk right now. Simmon Head say, well, you know, I believe in God, but I don't believe in miracles. Listen, you're not a Christian if you don't believe in miracles. Coming into the household of faith when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, when the Holy Spirit starts wooing us, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. You know why He said, if you hear His voice? Because you go back to Jeremiah, the first chapter, and you go into Psalms, and you find out that God says, before you was ever conceived or in your mother's womb, I knew you. He knew that eternal spirit. Every babe that's ever born on this earth knows who Jesus is. Little children. No little children don't believe in God. All of them believe in God. But a little baby, when it's born, it definitely knows who the Lord Jesus Christ is. The Bible said that when they knew God, Romans, the first chapter, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, became vain in their imagination, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. How did they know God? This is talking in Romans, the first chapter, and it's the only place in the Bible said God gave them up. Three times God gave them up to sinful things. God gave them up to a reprobate mind, and you get that reprobate mind, there's nothing for the Holy Spirit left to deal with. But it said when they knew God, how'd they know God? They knew God before they ever came to this earth. They knew God. And then sense knowledge when you're born. You know, grandma and grandpa and all the neighbors come in, goo, 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 and talk to a little baby. And all at once, the baby loses the supernatural world that they were conscious of. And now, that's why the Bible said if you hear His voice, how would a sinner know it's God's voice? Because they heard that voice before they ever God took an eternal soul spirit and united him with a human body. You understand what I'm talking about? So, Christianity is supernatural, miraculous. It's not a religion, but I have to use that. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. All right. And when you hear His voice, God calls. You know, you can't get saved anytime, any place when you get good and ready. I spent 2 weeks studying this one subject when I was younger. Day and night, day and night. In Philippians, I think it's the 3rd chapter, sort of covers it, said, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Sounds like it's all of man. Then Dr. Noel on the next verse said, it is God which worketh in you. You can't come to God unless He calls you. Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father. Draw him. That's that call of God. Today is the day of salvation. The Word of God says in the Old Testament, New Testament, if you hear His voice, you and I, no need of lying to ourselves or others, we know when God speaks to us. We know when the Holy Spirit convicts His set in John of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And if we hear His voice, harden not our heart. All right, Christianity is a supernatural, miraculous, quote-unquote, religion. Associates man with the supernatural. And when a person hears God's voice, God places the two greatest impossibilities before you even get inside the household of faith. Now, God knows what He's doing. What is it? The greatest miracle ever staggered the imagination of mankind or dipped down in the surface of this little browned earth is the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. God didn't use man or woman and created Adam. Then He used Adam, created Eve. Then the human race, man and woman, and they bring forth their kind. God said, replenish, multiply, replenish the earth. But there's another way God can bring a human being upon this earth. The Bible said, a virgin shall give birth to a son. And in Luke, the first chapter, this little Hebrew girl, you notice I dodge some of these titles that's so popular today, like they say, well, the Jews down in Egypt, no Jews in Egypt, go and read your Bible. The Israelis and the Hebrews were down in Egypt. Jews weren't even on the scene for several hundred years later. The Jews, the one who hated Jesus, conspired to kill Him and finally cried out, crucify Him, crucify Him, crucify Him. But the Hebrews, all of Israel that were really Hebrews believing in the Lord God that created heaven and earth and all of those believed on the Lord Jesus Christ when He walked on this earth. So the first great miracle is the virgin birth. It's staggering. But you can't even get inside the household of faith, because if Jesus Christ was not born of the Virgin Mary, He's not God manifest in the flesh. He's the biggest fraud and false prophet. But then all of the religion, even civic leaders, say, oh yes, He was a good man, but listen, He's not a good man if He's a liar. He's not a good man if He pretended to be something He's not all His life. So the first miracle is the virgin birth, the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to believe that with your heart, not only your mind. People say, accept Jesus. That term's not in the Bible. If you receive Christ, God will accept you. It's accept is in the mind, but receive is with the heart, the whole being. The virgin birth. Now, the second great miracle, you've got to believe to even become a child of God. You've got to believe that God raised Him from the dead. I mean, He is dead, not in a swoon, not in a faint. And here He was dead in a tomb, buried 3 full days and 3 full nights, died on Wednesday, raised from the grave on Saturday, sundown, if you want to. Because that scripture, Jesus said, only one sign will be given to this generation. And that was as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and 3 nights. Go to the original. A full 3 days, a full through nights. The Son of God will be in the heart of the earth. And He didn't raise early Sunday morning. God bless. We celebrate a risen Savior every day. But I'm just saying, if Jesus said it'd be full 3 days and 3 nights, back it up and on the calendar. And if it by our days, it'd be Wednesday. He's dead and buried at sundown. It is finished, He said. Thursday sundown is a full night and a full day. Friday sundown is 2 full nights and 2 days. Saturday is sundown. It wasn't. It's 3 full days and 3 full nights. And I want to tell you something. The God that we serve is a God of love, of compassion, tender mercy. If the love of God doesn't melt your heart once in a while, you better get a little closer. And we've got a tearless generation. I don't disrespect a man like Glenn Miller when he stands before an audience and weep. That's not easy for a man to do in public. But I want to tell you, we have too many dried eye converts. They never pray through. They're just chewing gum, looking around. Yes, I repeat this prayer. Jesus, give me my life. Give me my heart. Now I'm saved. Amen. Go on and not life change. We have too many dried eye converts, too many dried eye preachers, too many dried eye church members. But God is a God of love and compassion. He didn't let His Son stay in that tomb one extra minute. He came out of there. Because I live, you shall live also. He walked down the streets of Jerusalem, saw His disciples, Luke, and said, He breathed upon them and said, receive ye, take ye right now, lebetos, right now, immediately receive you, the Holy Spirit breathed on. Then he turned around and said, go tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power, dynamite. He breathed Z-O-E, life in them. And I, you know, some, oh God, we can't, it's the hardest thing on earth to try to correct misconceived ideas in the body of Christ that are actually hindering some of the ministry of the Holy Spirit and what God is doing. Now, a lot of things really doesn't make any difference, but there are some important things. People say, bless God, I want you to pray for my sister. She's saved, but she ain't got the Holy Ghost. Listen, any saved person has the Holy Spirit giving them Z-O-E life, or now they're not even saved. But that person needs the dynamic power, the baptism, or the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? All right, we've got to believe these supernatural things, or we're not a child of God and we're not walking in faith. Now, if God paddles me for what I'm going to do this morning, I'm going to blame it on Glenn. You know, Dr. Noel, I got to the end of a service one time and I said, please forgive me. I took a time telling a couple of incidents in my ministry. And he turned around and said, we want to hear more of them. Tell us more of those things. All right. I'm going to try to do that if the Lord will let me. Now, the first thing I'm talking about, because I want you to leave this camp. You've been fed day and night. You've entered that early prayer meeting. And if you want to know, really, the basic foundation why the Spirit of God has already blessed some of you here, it was because people are praying and walking and on their knees and on the floor this morning at 6 a.m. praying. All right, the voice of God. I've already discussed a little about the voice of God. Dr. Martin Luther Davidson was the most popular Assembly of God minister back 40 or 50 years ago. He'd pack them in. In his older age, he grabbed me in the aisle in Miami and he said, Clement, and he wept. He said, you mentioned God speaking to you. I'd give anything if God had just called my name or speak to me one time. Wow. Well, go to John, the 10th chapter. And Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow. If you're a child of God, God's going to speak. Now, God didn't speak the worlds into existence and then lapse into silence. The speaking voice of God, other than the love of God and the truth of God, the speaking voice of God fills the whole universe with potentiality this very moment. God speaks in nature. God speaks in the heavens. God speaks through His Word. God speaks through His Holy Spirit. God speaks through dreams and visions. God speaks through tongues, interpretation of tongues. God speaks with prophecy. God speaks with impressions. And brother, did that just impression. Have you ever been impressed? All at once to call someone. I live in this like this almost all night. Haven't heard from him in 2 or 3 years. Maybe longer. Pick up the phone. And almost always it's like this. My God, why are you calling me now? And they begin weeping. I say, I don't know. I was just impressed. I didn't have an angel with a 14-foot wing spread. I didn't have a trance or something else and a flash of light and said, call Don Gamble in Kansas City. I just called him. He said, my God, Clement, I don't know anyone on earth that I'd rather speak to than right now. He said, May and I are in divorce proceedings. I'm here with sheriff's deputies to get my things out of the house. I have a half hour and this phone rings. And I haven't heard from you in years. Said, why did you call me? I said, I just had a little impression. He wept and cried. I said, put May on the phone. Said, oh no, they took her away. And I said, I'm going to claim this family back for God. They got back for God and he started traveling. They're Baptists, but he started traveling across America establishing with a team new Baptist churches. And last time I heard of them, they were living in Dallas, Texas, living glorious, victorious lives. Now God speaks through His voice. Whether it's an inaudible voice, whether it's an audible voice, makes no difference. My experience, and please don't make a doctrine out of this, like I told this dear lady, I believe, that when God speaks to me, I can't tell from where it's coming, if it's audible. I have no... It's surround sound. And you know, is before the audio industry ever advertised surround sound. Now, when an angel speaks to me, and I'll get on this a little, Now, see, Brother Glenn said tell more of these experiences, so I just like to get in the pulpit and just preach the word, you know what? But I'm preaching the word. And there's a little demonstration that I want to show, and I'm not trying. You know, if you think I'm trying to call attention to myself, you're missing it all.
Amen.
If you think I'm standing here trying to say, brother, I'm more holy, or I got more spirituality, my Lord, I could bow before any believer in this place and ask them to put their hand on my head and pray for me. Now, I don't want just every Tom, Dick, and Harry praying for me, but I mean humility. I mean that. In humility, Yes. Because I don't want some of the things they've got transferred on me. But God's voice, when He speaks to me, audible, inaudible, I can't tell from where it's coming. Now, when an angel speaks to me, please don't make a doctrine out of this, personal experience, I can always tell which direction it's from. And usually it's at a 45-degree angle on one side or the other. And I mean it's specific. It's exact. I was driving across Colorado and got an angel, said, Mr. Weldon's dead. I turned to people in the car and I said, Mr. Weldon's dead. Hadn't heard from him in years. As far as I knew, he's in good health. I drove into Portland, Oregon the next day and my dad was weeping. And I came in the room and I said, what's wrong? My dad came over to me through his tears and his chin was quivering. He's 6 feet two, preached the gospel over 50 years before God took him home. But he said, I lost one of the dearest friends that God ever gave me. And I said, really? He said, yes, Mr. Weldon died yesterday. So I don't ask questions. People will tell you what they want you to. Don't be prying all the time. So I just said, well, God bless you. We know he's in a better place. But then I went to Mr. Weldon's son, and I said, what time, with some people that was in the car, I said, what time Mr. Weldon died? They told me exactly. And I looked at them, and I said, you remember driving in Colorado yesterday? Exactly at that time. Now, a lot of things I don't know. I was driving across the desert many years ago, and I had a new Ford convertible. Never did like it, never did get in another one, but anyway, I had new premium Firestone tires. I was sailing across the desert, and here comes a Greyhound bus going around me. Here comes a semi going around me. I checked. I said, well, this car must not be calculated right. I'm going 75 to 80, and everybody's going around me. So I thought, well, maybe I'll just... And you know, on the desert that day and time, you and I guess today, you blow out a tire, and usually your car rolls. And so... I was riding along there, and all at once an angel said, slow down, you're in danger, danger, danger. I started slowing down. People in the car said, what's wrong, what's wrong? I didn't answer. Quit trying to explain and analyze everything to everybody, ever Tom, Dick, and Harry. They take human reasoning, human understanding, and you'll end up casting your pearls before swine and rendering that which is holy unto dogs. I mean, it may be a good Christian, but right at that time, it's like a dog nature or a hog nature to you.
Amen.
So I slowed down a little and I said back to the angel, what's wrong? He said, tire. I said, which one? He said, the front right.
Wow.
I kept slowing down, slowing down, slowing down. And when I got about 35, 40 miles an hour, that tire blew just into smithereens.
Wow.
Now see, angels are ministering spirits to the heirs of salvation. And you and I... The Bible said again in Hebrews, 13:1, it said, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Some have entertained angels unaware. And angels are on this earth to help us, especially protect us. Jesus said even little children's angels were before the Father. So you want to you want to give attention not only to the sounds around you, but in the spiritual world. Be open to the impressions of God, the speaking of God. It's not that God does not speak. It is that we don't hear. We don't listen. We don't cultivate our hearing to hear and obey God when He does speak. The Bible said in John 5:25, the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. That's how, and rise again. That's how powerful the voice of God is. And I mentioned Martin Luther Davidson. I prayed with him and I said, God, you're going to do this. This dear evangelist wants to hear your voice. I'm glad I prayed that prayer. Because up to that time, he said this in his church. He's pastoring now. He said, oh, we Christians just got to hold on, hold out. And when the devil knocks, it's like this. When the devil knocks the front door down, a few one-eyed men, widow women will be hiding in the corner when the Antichrist and the devil, and but Jesus will come in the back door and snatch us out in a secret rapture, and away we go forever. We just got to hold on. I said, no. I don't subscribe to that escapist theory. Believe me, there's all kind of things in God's Word, and if I have time, I'm going to cover some of them today. God's not through with this world yet. Did you hear me? We don't know it all. We haven't got it all. And there's things beyond where we are today that will amaze you, shock you. It's almost unbelievable that the Scriptures in God's Word must be fulfilled in the things that God's going to come upon the scene and do. This thing's not over. It's just begun. You say, well, bless God, I've got the Holy Ghost and I've arrived. Jesus said, when the Holy Ghost has come, He'll teach you. You're in the ABC class. You just got in kindergarten.
That's right.
You didn't graduate. You've got the little box now to start putting things together that makes spiritual sense and an understanding. He said there in John, when the Holy Spirit comes, He'll remind you of things of mine, what I've said and what I've done. Now, that's in the past. He'll remind you. Then He said He'll guide you. Well, that's right now. Then He said He'll show you things to come. The Holy Spirit's not here to finalize things. Hallelujah, I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. No. It is here that now the whole spiritual world can open up to us who we are and who God is. And if you're still wrapped up in what God does, I'm just going to tell you, that's wonderful. But there's a higher realm of who God is. Did you ever notice one of the speakers is speaking from Galatians 5th chapter, the works of the flesh in the fruit of the Spirit. Did you notice the works of the flesh? They're in doing, 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 doing. Now, the fruit of the Spirit, it's not any doing. It's being, 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 being. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And I'm going to tell some of you, quit your struggling. Quit your striving. If it hadn't brought you anything, now there's a difference. When you pray through, or God sends you on a mission, and you're hindered, boy, just go right ahead and set your face like a flint. But this other thing of always seeking God for this, seeking God for that, and it's not happening, quit. Just let go and say, all right, God, you have charge. I'm resting in you. I'm believing you. Not for things, but we serve God not because He saves us. Listen at it. We serve God not because He heals us. We serve God not because necessarily He answers prayer. We serve God for He is God, period. So Martin Luther Davidson heard the voice of God. Then on I-95 right in Miami, I think it's 16 lanes of traffic there, four drunken men ran head on into him and took him out into glory. But I know he heard from God because he said he's just going to hold on. But all at once he said, no, God's not through. You know, he ordered me out of his church. I wasn't causing anything. But I stood in the aisle talking to him, and he got real loud. I didn't cross his doctrine. I submit to pastor. But he got real loud, and I just stood there. Now, Frances, she's on a 30-day word fast. That's why she's not here this morning. She's fasting physically and fasting words. Since we came back from Mexico a week ago, she hasn't said a word. Boy, is it quiet on her. I left her in tears this morning, and I was mad all the way to church. I started out the door, and the phone rang. She brought the phone to me because she's not answering. Is our daughter that just graduated from college with honors in Florida. And some of them were conducting a birthday party for a young college kid, 24 years old. And he's a special friend to the fellow that I brought here, a doctor in training, the young fellow, Sean Wells. And this is military family. Sean's dad flies all the world. It's in war planning. And he'll be in Japan. Then he'll come back home in an hour or two. Then he's back to Germany. Then he's over in Iraq. And these, you know, military families, some of y'all had this experience, you know, they cling together. But the 24-year-old young fella in this group that these military families know, and the young people were planning, including BG, our daughter, to honor him with a birthday party. He died last night. He works in a rescue unit. And while he is working in a rescue unit, you know, with the ambulance and all of that, and I don't know if he got fumes or what, but he collapsed. He's carried in the hospital. He got better than intensive care. And then yesterday, his kidneys and other parts of his body just shut down. I'm so mad at the devil for taking our young people before their time today. I'm sorry. I am. You pick up a paper today and you'll find out instead of everybody 70, 80 years old, you'll find it says 23 years old, a beautiful lady, 19 years old. Here a while back, a beauty queen, 17 years old. She and her boyfriend speeding out here on a country road. Mine, you read such promises they had, such a beautiful life ahead. Well, it's God's time for them to go. Oh, yeah? Jesus said the thief cometh but to steal, to kill, and destroy. I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I know what we don't understand. If God takes a little baby or something, we've still got to trust God through it. I'm not arguing on that. But thank God we can hear His voice. I stood in, I think it's Coshocton Fairgrounds in Ohio many years ago, and I said, how many, I've never done this before, how many have ever heard the voice of God? Well, two or three people went up, and then they wasn't sure, you know, it was a big tent meeting, they wasn't sure to keep their hand up or not. And I said, if God will awaken you tonight and call you by name, will you get out by your bed and pray the rest of the night or till God relieves and lets you go back to sleep? People lift their hand all over the place. I said, are you sure? Well, the next night, one-third of those people had heard the voice of God the night before, the first time in their life. But before I started the service, there's a little fellow all dressed up real nice, and he came and he said, hey, preacher, can I talk with you? I said, certainly, but we're about ready for service. And he said, you know, I was here last night. And I said, I'm an Episcopalian. None of that stuff happens today. God doesn't speak to anyone. And he said, but you know, when you ask, how many, if God called you, get out and pray. He said, everybody lift their hand, and before I knew it, I almost had to pull my hand down. I didn't know I was lifting. But said, I'm an honorable man. I'm a man of my word. And said, about 2 o'clock this morning, he began crying. He said, about 2 o'clock this morning, I heard my name, and it woke me up. I was very still, then I heard it again. Then I heard it again. And I leaped out of bed, and I thought, oh, one of my neighbors got some kind of emergency. I went, no one at the door. I turned on the light, no one around. Then he said, all at once, I remembered my hand was up. And he said, I went back in my bedroom and got on my knees and stayed to daylight. It's been the most wonderful night of my whole lifetime. Yes? Years ago, see, angels, now I'm talking about angels a little. We talk about the voice of God and so forth. But you can't, see, all of God's Word is interwoven with God's Word. You can't just preach one little subject. There's so much to it to make it balanced and rounded. But eight of us were in a car, and my dad that night had preached on angels. The whole audience froze. They didn't believe it. Because, see, my dad had no one to help, and an angel appeared to him when he was in his young teens in a darkened room in a farmhouse. They didn't have enough beds, and he slept on a cot near the kitchen stove. And it's a very dark night, and a blaze of light, that's the Shekinah. A blaze of light came in the room, and an angel there and commissioned him to preach. People made fun of him, said he's tongue-tied. He only has a fourth grade education. He's a plow boy. But I'm going to tell you, when he held his first revival in his hometown, 120 were baptized at the Little Red River, they started talking otherwise.
Amen.
When he stood in Hartford, Mansfield, Arkansas on a Sunday afternoon in a great big cow pasture, and the power of God came down upon him like a ball of fire, and he preached for 20 or 30 minutes in pure French. And he didn't even know. He thought everybody on earth talked English. That's how ignorant he was. And there were French people that moved from the old country up there because there's old coal mines up at Mansfield, Arkansas, and Huntington, Arkansas. And these French people by the hundreds were there. Those country people that day and time, they didn't have anywhere to go, no TV, not even radio. And they had some silent picture shows once in a while, but the little old nothings, you know, in a little room to seat 20 people or something. And they needed to go somewhere, and they'd hear about a revival, and all of them would come. He came to himself, and people were all over the front, kneeling, prostrate, crying out to God for repentance. And he turned to the older minister and said, "My God, what on earth happened?" And this dear man, and I remember him as I was growing up, he's from Pennsylvania. He said, "Brother Humbert, I'll never preach another sermon around you in my lifetime." Well, he did. He did, but that's what he said. You know, and he's a very highly educated man. But see, then after that, my dad had a vision. How many believe in visions? Go to Joel 2:28. Afterward, God said, "I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men dream dreams. And your young men see visions." And then here's the double anointing to little people. "And upon my servants and maidens." They're servants of the household of God. Not the church, but the house. The spiritual house God's building for the Shekinah glory and for the presence of God the Father. He said, "I'll pour out my spirit, thus saith the Lord." Now, why do we grab that scripture and we go to the day of Pentecost and they all began to, Acts 2:4, they all began to speak with other tongues, H-E-T-R-O-S, that's other languages than they has ever trained or knew, as the Spirit of God gave them in, and we major on that. And I'll dare say it's probably been 10 years since I've heard someone that were permitted to tell a dream or a vision in a congregation. Now, I know some people eat hard-boiled eggs and some hot chili peppers, and then they go to bed, and they roll and toss, and then they have some kind of wild dream of three bald-headed Jews going to Jerusalem and Washington, D.C. with a new flag, and they want to tell that. Well, listen, don't let the goofballs, there's extremes in everything. Don't let the right or the left dominate our thinking. Let's be sure we don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. There are some fanatics. There are some goofballs. But the devil wants you in one ditch or the other. He doesn't want you in the middle road. He wants you into emotionalism, fanaticism in this ditch, just shouting in glory, glory, because then how many I the rest of your life never mount the hill of beans for God, just trying to put on a spiritual act. Or he wants you in the other ditch over here of dry, dead formalism and ritualism. But God will help us. And see, people will come out of formalism and the devil's holding them back, holding them back, holding them back. Then all at once he says, "Well, just go on, you fool." Instead of stopping in the middle of the road, they go into the other ditch. Oh, this is glorious. Hallelujah. And in a lot of emotionalism, fanaticism. God wants us in the middle. I'm not talking about compromise, brother. Some people need to tell them to sit down. You need to tell them to shut up. Some people, and God bless the body of Christ, but we're just still so immature. This minister preaching, I feel the Spirit. Then I feel it greater and greater. Now, if we're not trained in the things of God, I want to get up and take over your service. And that's not what God wants at all. He's just witnessing for me to assist and help or put all of my focus and spiritual energy. See, there's natural and mental energy and there's spiritual energy toward what you are doing. So a lot of people feel the Spirit and they will. Well, bless God, the Spirit of God told me to go up there and take over the microphone. You better challenge that. Sometimes it may not be an evil spirit, but it may be just the human spirit. So, y'all still love me?
Yes.
Now, God has a sense of humor.
Yes, He
does. After an operation in Army Navy Hospital, Percy Jones Hospital in Battle Creek, Michigan, I was in worship. It was related to the service. I wasn't in service very long, many years ago, World War II, near the end. But I was worse conditioned than better. And I was told that I'd never be better. The only way I could get to sleep at night is roll up in a little ball and pray that God would relieve the pain, relieve the pain, relieve the pain. And I sort of got tired of that. Because I was preaching every night and preaching signs, wonders, and miracles, pulling people out of wheelchairs. It's nothing those days, see blind eyes open, deaf ears unstopped, see the cripple walk. I mean, it's great. Way back 50 years ago, so many people fell under power, we didn't have any catchers. I wouldn't let the ushers catch them. They'd fall just like this and not even shield themselves and hit right on their face, on their glass, on their nose. And I'm honest before God, with thousands, I never saw a mark or a bruise or a broken glass or broken nose. Sometimes they just melt like this and go down. And people would say, I'm going up there, but bless God, I'm not going to fall. Before they got there, boom, they go. Then finally we wouldn't touch them. They'd still fall. It wouldn't make any difference. I don't care how loud you shout, how high you jump, or how hard you fall if you walk straight when you hit the ground. So, one night I just got out of bed and after this operation, and I said, Lord, I'm preaching signs, wonders, and miracles, and I believe that you've done so many things supernatural. See, I was scalded with hot boiling water when I was 5 years old, and my uncle was the only doctor in town, and he said, I'm afraid that Clement will never walk again. Sure, I have scars from the knee down to the ankle, but brother, I was a long-distance track runner in school. They that wait on the Lord,
yes,
He shall renew their strength. So I got in a room by myself at night, and I like this night season. Some of us, we're people of another world anyway. We get our days and nights all mixed up. We get our food all mixed up. We don't hardly know sometime whether we're coming or going. I don't mean we don't have good reasoning and sense, but I like the nighttime, and I like a dark room. And I like to just sit there or get up and meditate or bow on the floor, my head to the floor, and just wait on God until He gives you all of the assurances you've ever had again, fresh and anew. And not ask, but this night I said, either there's a God or not a God. I spent about 10 minutes on this. Well, sure, there's a God. The fool is setting his heart no God. Well, either God can do everything or God can do nothing. Then I see, we're not thoroughly convinced. We always, you know, even people come to get saved, but they don't quite 100%, 97%. Well, Lord, if alcohol's been my problem, someone will say, but Lord, yeah, I give my life to you, but you know, if I'm on a fishing trip, no one ever know about it, and they leave a little gap there.
Yeah, that's right.
See? Or a pretty face, a strange city, and my problem, they'll say, my problem was womanizing. And they'll give their heart to God, but they won't come completely clean in dedication. See, God wants to give us thorough conviction. Absolute. So, by God's grace and help, I'm through with the old life. So, I said, either God is, yes, He is, in that dark room. Now, He can do anything or everything. Then I quoted Scripture, it says, by His stripes I'm healed. And I lift my hand, I was all crippled up, and I lift my hand, and I said, thank God, by His stripes I'm healed. Don't tell me there's not a devil. He said, right from this direction, you're a fool. I said, you're another one. He said, you are claiming healing, and you have pain in your body. I said, listen, you have nothing to do with this. This is me and the Lord. You're intruding, and the Bible said you're a trespasser. All that were pressed, that word means trespass, and Satan gets in on your territory, you've got to shoo him out. In the name of Jesus, get out of here, Satan. You have nothing to do with this. Don't argue with him. Don't try to reason with him. I said, this is me and the Lord. He said, you still got the pain. I said, wait a minute, old boy. One other thing. As far as I'm concerned, this is a counterfeit pain.
Amen. Come
on. That's your pain, not mine.
Amen.
Now, during the night, and I'm a non-sleeper. Sometimes it takes, but I don't roll and toss. I just lay there in the arms of Jesus, or get up and pray a while, or meditate, get up and read. And so that night, after this, I went in, went to sleep immediately. Hour or two later, I heard someone way in the distance praising God. Oh, it's so beautiful. They're just praising the Lord, praising the Lord. It got a little louder and a little louder. And that's not like me. Either I'm awake or asleep. 40 years of my life, I leaped out of bed and said, Lord, where is it today? This is the day you've made. I didn't drag up out of bed. If I'd driven 1,000 miles, I leaped up and was the first one back in the offices the next day. Even if I got in at 3 or 4 o'clock a.m., trusting God. So I heard the person. Now, I'd claimed healing, rolled up in a little ball again to relieve the pain. I said, thank you, Lord, for healing me. Oh, you're so good. Thank you, Jesus. See, God cannot lie. His word can't lie. When we line up with it, something's got to take place. So I heard someone praising God a little louder, 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 and I woke up and it's me. So I opened my eyes. And there, when I opened my eyes, an angel was standing there. Don't ever seek angels. You may get out in the occult. But just seek God. And when you need the vision, dream, or angel, just keep seeking God. Just keep seeking God. Keep seeking God. I never asked to see an angel. But I told you, my dad preached on angels. 8 of us in that car that night saw the same thing. We saw an angel. Now, first of all, normally before you see an angel, I'm just giving you my experience. Please don't make a doctrine out. There's a holy hush hit you. Do you all know what this is? You may be singing, but a holy hush. You may be preaching, but the holy hush. That is that the Holy Spirit is going to do something real odd and strange, and the Holy Spirit wants you to give the opportunity. You don't have to say anything to the audience. That'll hit me sometime, and I'll just stop, and a person will collapse in the audience. Usually it's a man. A woman would scream, oh, my husband had a heart attack. I say, I'll be responsible for that man. Don't get an ambulance. Everybody get away from him. Sister, I'll be responsible for him. Because I had that holy hush witness before it ever happened. See, so normally when God's going to visit with an angel to me, I had that holy hush. Did you ever get out of your car at night and maybe you walk up the driveway and you've done this 100 times, 1,000 times. But one night you get up and the wind's not blowing or anything. You get out of the car and all at once you feel like somebody's creeping up on you.
Oh, yeah.
See, it's not exactly fear, but that's the only way I know to describe it. Yes. And so all at once you have this. So when I have it, if I'm alone, I look. I don't just hurry to glance around, but I look to see. One time, he's a 9-foot angel. See, but you have that. God's going to do something supernatural. But here I woke up praising God, and there was a person in layered clothing over me, like they wear in the Mideast, with a little pitcher going over my body back and forth like this, and it was like frozen oxygen or frozen air, slowly, as white, coming out of that from one end to the other. I knew that God had healed me. I mentioned the 9-foot angel. Benny Hinn and I were in Toronto for 3 days, just the two of us, for meetings. And flying back, he's telling me about little angels. And I said, you know, I've never seen any little angels, I don't doubt. Then he told me one time of the big giant angel, two of them in his room, one was evil, one was good, and how that Michael, he thought it was Michael the archangel, pressed this other one away, and then the evil angel disappeared, and then Michael said, oh, he says, I'm wanted, and off he went. But I said, Benny, I've never seen, but I said, I'll tell you what I have had. I wake up, may I touch you? Before I'm awake. And I have no nervous disorders, but angels of God are petting you. They're petting your face.
Yeah.
Friend, I'm not talking about some goofball thing. I never knew this happened. And when I told Benny, I said, you know, I don't talk about this. But I said, and he began weeping. He said, that happens to me. That happens to me. Angels. Now, while I'm talking about this manifestation of angels, let me tell you something else. My dad would be on the platform and time again say, you're seated there with my dad. And all at once he says,
yes, Brother Chip, what do you want? He said, Brother Humbert, I don't want anything. He said, yes, you do. You put your hand on my shoulder. And then I noticed a person say no, or one of us say, no, we didn't want your attention. Then his chin would start quivering and he'd start weeping. You know, when the Bible said in the Old Testament, the hand of the Lord is on us, we always spiritualize that, you know. You'll forgive me, I don't have a cold, but I weep and cry as I talk about things of God. I can't help it. But I was in South Africa, and this church is 6 weeks old, and they had a tent seating 1,200, and it's packed and jammed out. And the church was 6 weeks old, and they brought me up there for Sunday night. I'd been there a year before in another situation before the pastor started this church. But they got all of the kids off the front row and made them sit in the aisles. It's a big tent, and we all sat on the front row. So in the song and worship and all, they had prayer. And when they had prayer, I turned to the pastor, and I just lightly put my hand on his shoulder, and I prayed for him. When I started praying, someone tangibly put their hand on my left shoulder. So when we got through, the pastor said, oh, thank you, dear brother. I felt that prayer. And I thought, well, I got to be civic, too, and ethical. And I turned to thank whoever put nobody there. Empty seats. I tell you, folks, we ought to be living in the supernatural day by day, hour by hour. We don't realize who we are and who we are in God. I was in the City Auditorium, West Palm Beach, and they were praise and worship. And BG was a little younger, and she told her mother, said, you know, we drove into this service and said, I need to go to the ladies' room. And she said, whispering, said, well, BG, I'll go with you. She said, wonder where it is. Said, honey, I'll go with you. And they left. So we was all praising God and so forth. And all at once, someone came, wham, held me like this. All of these aren't expected. You never seek for them. You never run after them. Usually we never tell them. Sometimes years and we don't even tell them. So I thought, well, BG is trying to act cute. Then I said, no, that's larger hands than BG. So I paid no attention. I really expect to turn around and see some old friend or minister. I turned around when Wallace started sitting down, and there's nobody there. Now, see, this is assurance, though. For example, South Africa. I remember the sermon I preached that night, and the pastor, after great soul-winning time, he said, Brother, I promised the people we'd pray for the sick. I said, all right. I said, let's stand, sing, only believe, and come. Down this long center aisle came a family dragging a teenage boy that his ankle was dragging, and he was saliva running out of his mouth and all distorted and crippled up. And you know, in the natural look and say, well, God can't have a little warm-up session here first. A lady or two healed of a headache, or someone get a little better hearing, or someone with a sore toe would stomp it and say, well, you know, he said it, son, I said, if thou canst believe, all things possible. So I prayed for this young man. He immediately was slain by the Spirit. Now, when people are slain by the Spirit, I'm not talking about here at the camp necessarily, but out where there's a lot of worldly people and all, it's best to get a Christian work or two down there with them and pray with them. And lead them and guide them or whatever the Holy Spirit were. So I grabbed a couple that's traveled with me and I said, stay with this young boy. 20 minutes later, I guess, that young boy walked out of there just like I'm walking. Now, how did God increase my faith on that? By that hand hitting on my shoulder, I knew God was going to do something supernatural. And God couldn't wait. He sent it the first one. I spoke at Durban Bible College on Thursday, and there's a beautiful young... Oh, God did miracles there. They had 600 or 800 people there, and they said they roast American evangelists. They said, we feel sorry for you. I said, don't feel sorry for me. You better feel sorry for them. They don't know who they're dealing with. The Bible in
Hebrews 2:10 said, "He that is spiritual judgeth all things and is judged by no man." If some of you think you've been out here and come to this camp to judge Dr. Noel, to judge Glenn, to judge any of these speakers, you've got another thought coming. These people operate in the Spirit and they're judging you. Boy, I don't hear very many amens. But there in Durban Bible College, after a beautiful young girl was fighting her way to get to me. So I made an effort. I thought she grabbed hold of me and wept and cried and said, "You know, the boy Sunday out here in the mountains at the Indian tent." I said, "Yes." Said, "That their family's members of our church." And said, "This is Thursday. He is at prayer meeting last night and is completely healed by the power of God." Now, here's the trouble today. We pray for 100 things, and God helps and heals, or partially heals 3 of them, and we just crow about it. It ought to be right opposite.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.